The Sabres live here on MSG and WGR 550. I'm Marty Biron. Brian Duff has the day off. And to fill in for Duffer today, well, we're going to use multiple people. And in a backward order, not in importance order, we'll have Rob Ray at 1230. We'll have Mike and Amy Lisakowski at 1215. But right now at the top of the show, because maybe Jordan LaBarber of Sabres.com is that important to us for our knowledge of draft picks and you know, prospects and all that. So we decided to have him on right away at the start of the show. So Jordan, let's put the prospects on the side for a quick second here. The NHL Game 5, Oilers, Panthers tonight. I'm going to ask everybody this. Who do you got? Does it end tonight? So I'm going to give you the first crack at it.
You know what? It's interesting. I'm an NBA fan, and the series have mirrored each other to this point. Both looked like they'd be sweeps. Both times they went 3-1 in a blowout fashion. Last night, the Celtics ended it. However, I'm bucking the trend. I say the Oilers force game 6. I think they've just got too much talent to go down that easily, right?
They kind of figured it out in game 4. And if they win game 5, this is going to go to 7. If the Oilers win tonight, they're winning at home 100% because I think Shania Twain will be back and she's going to bring her luck like she did, right? Like, you're still the one. So Shania is going to be back. And then they go back to Florida for game 7 on Monday. That's how I see it.
I was going to say Panthers and 6. Because as much as I respect the Oilers, these Panthers are so deep. They do everything well. Are they going to lose 3 in a row? I'm not sure. But I do want to see a little bit more hockey. So let's give the Oilers tonight.
Okay. Well, Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com, the first vote of the day. And he says the Edmonton Oilers win game 5. And this will be going to a 6th game, which would be Friday night in Edmonton. So we'll see if that happens. Okay. Now that we've cleared that up, the draft is in... What are they? We are June the 18th. So in 10 days is the first round of the draft at the Vegas Sphere. It is a Friday night. So the Sabres pick 11. Number one, everybody wants to know, do you think the Sabres pick at 11 or will they trade the 11 pick? There's obviously a lot of talk and it's been... You know, up in the media and rumored that the Sabres have basically said we're willing to trade for the right price. What is that price? Who knows? But do you think the Sabres trade 11th or do they make that pick?
Well, you know, just because you make a trade doesn't necessarily even mean you don't make the pick. You know, I think Kevin Adams was on the station earlier in the offseason and he said, you know, we are in a different phase right now. We draft picks. Restock the cupboard. And now if there is a move that you can make to improve the NHL roster, then of course, if it's the right deal, they're going to do it. That said, it doesn't have to be the 11th pick when you have a wealth of prospects like the Sabres do now. I mean, perhaps the trade could come from there if there is a trade at all, and then you're using the 11th pick to replenish what you lost in that sense. So, like I said, Kevin Adams was pretty upfront about the idea that he, you know, the team is going to not leave no stone unturned. But that doesn't necessarily mean the 11th pick would even have to be.
Yeah, no, you're right. That doesn't mean the 11th pick. Maybe it's something left, you know, a second rounder, a third rounder, whatnot. The Sabres obviously have got a lot of picks. They don't have a fifth rounder this year, I believe, but they've got everything else and more. There's other rumors that before the Sabres make their pick at 11, the Utah Hockey Club, I almost said the Utah Jazz, but that's in the NBA. So the Utah Hockey Club is rumored to be wanting to get out and maybe trade the 6th overall pick. The Ottawa Senators are 7th overall. They may be willing to trade as well, which that could be for a goaltender. That could be for Jacob Markstrom. The New Jersey Devils could also trade the 10th overall pick, maybe for that same goaltender, Jacob Markstrom. Who knows? So there may be some activity right before the Sabres either make the pick or trade the pick, which is the 11th pick. So let's just assume here there's been a lot of movement. Utah moved out, Ottawa traded, Calgary traded, but the Sabres, you know, I've run out of partners. Everybody traded ahead of the 11th pick, and now they are sitting there saying, we only have one thing left to do, and it is to pick a prospect at 11. So on Sabres.com right now, you have a list of 7 at 11 for the forwards and 7 at 11 for the D. This or that, which one do you want to talk about first, the defense or the forwards?
Let's go forwards.
Okay, we'll go forwards because there's a lot. It's actually a heavy, top-heavy defenseman type draft. All the mock drafts around have a lot of defense getting picked early, so maybe there's more opportunities when it comes to forwards slipping down to 11, something that maybe the Sabres have a forward that is, you know, on their boards in the top five, but somehow slip to 11, and they can pick that player at 11. Who's one player that you think would be high on a lot of players' board, but because a lot of defensemen may get picked, could slip to 11 and would be just a no-brainer. You're looking and you're picking that guy. And it's not Macklin Celebrini because he's going first overall.
it's interesting. There's a group of, it seems like, four forwards who kind of fall. You see mock drafts where they're as high as sixth, and they could go as low as like 13th or 14th.
Okay.
And of those, maybe the highest is Tiija Ginla, who's an exciting name for any hockey fan because his father is Jarome Ginla.
Yep.
He ranks sixth in the WHL in goals this year. He's, you know, described as one of the top goal scorers in the draft class, but also has, you know, a grit to his game that could add an intriguing component to the Sabres, you know, forward group down the road. Now, the interesting thing with Tiija Ginla is the Calgary Flames pick 9th. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that even though they do need some defensemen in their system, there's going to be a lot of pressure to make that pick, I mean, from their fan base. But I think if he did slip to 11, it's an exciting name, both in terms of his name and his talent.
Kind of interesting because you look around to a lot of mock drafts. Like Bob McKenzie has Tiija Ginla ranked at 16th. Craig Button has him at 4th, right? So you're looking at 16th for Bob McKenzie and 4th for Craig Button. So that's a big disparity between two top experts, right, in the prospect and the draft evaluation. So Tiija Ginla is definitely a name that people will recognize. You're right. The Calgary Flames, I don't think they make that same mistake and not drafting. They passed on Joe McGinley and they got him in a trade. Dallas got him, right? Yeah. And then they got him in a trade for Joe Nieuwendyk. I think if Tiija Ginla is there at 9, the Calgary Flames would pick Tiija Ginla, but I like that name as well. One player I really like, but he's ranked lower than 11th. But who knows? Maybe the Sabres make a trade and they move down, or maybe they really like that player like I do, is Cole Eisenman, that played at the National Team Development Program, right? Team USA. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about Cole Eisenman? And I mean, he's a left winger, but what's his strength and where could he fit when it comes to Sabres prospect?
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison, I suppose, in a way, because think back a few years ago, you had Cole Caulfield.
Yes.
And he was the all-time goal scoring leader at the U.S. national team program. And there was a lot of debate around him because he was this natural goal scorer, but he had this question mark, and that was his size. Mm-hmm. Now, a few years later, and he ended up going in the middle of the first round, and he's had some success in the NHL already. You have Cole Eisenman, who broke Cole Caulfield's record at the program by one goal. And once again, you're seeing him mocked toward the middle of the first round. Now, the difference is it's not as much a question of size. He's in that 6-foot range.
Yeah.
But more so how he'll round out his game. I think, you know, from people I've talked to, he is a great goal scorer. He's maybe the most pure goal scorer, you know, in this class. He's got a great elite shot. But the questions that teams are asking themselves are, how is the game going to round out offensively? Is he going to be more than just that shot? He's going to BU next year, have some time to develop. But I think when you see that production, 127 goals in 2 seasons, it's intriguing outside the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, and it's not Iserman like Wiserman, like Steve Iserman. It is E-I-S-E-R-M-A-N, so there's no relation to Steve Iserman. So you hear Tiji Ginla, and you're like, oh, that's Jerome's son. And then you hear Cole Iserman. You're like, hey, that's Steve Iserman's kid. No, it's not. No relation. So don't think about it. But the guy can score definitely a lot of goals. And the Sabres did that when they drafted Jack Quinn. Jack Quinn was one of the highest scoring junior players that year. And look at how Jack Quinn turned out. So scoring goals is something that's important. Do you got one more forward that you're looking at before we move on to the defense?
Yeah, Berkeley Catton, if you're reading mock drafts, you'll see that name, you know, associated with the Sabres because he's kind of falls in that 11 range. Now, what's interesting with him is he is comparable to some guys the Sabres have in the system, specifically Zach Benson. They're the same size, 5'10", both WHL guys, both a ton of production in the WHL. Berkeley had 54 goals last season, 116 points. But he's described also like Benson in the term of, you know, Mike Morial from NHL.com. I talked to him. He follows these prospects all year long. Mm-hmm. Said he kind of has that dog and a bone mentality. He's around the action as well as being a great scorer. And that's what we saw from Zach Benson throughout his rookie year playing in the NHL as an 18-year-old. So a little bit similar to what the Sabres already have in terms of their younger forwards. You know, you go kind of go down the list of prospects. Well, that said, you look at the NHL forwards on the Sabres roster, and there's a lot of size. So Tage Thompson's obvious. Alex Tuch's obvious. And Cousins. Size and physicality don't necessarily always have to go hand in hand. You can be smaller, and you can be that kind of pest guy who is, you know, creating havoc. So it doesn't necessarily mean because you have those guys already that you can't add more.
Yeah, 100%. You look at Zach Benson. Nobody's going to say he shies from physicality. He's definitely always involved in the battle. Matt Savoy was also a WHL draft pick who had a lot of success scoring goals. So Berkeley, Caton, is that how you say it? Calton?
Caton.
Canton. Okay, well, okay. So there you go. Spokane. So that's the way, that's how we got to look at it. Okay, the defense in the draft are going to go, and like cupcakes, they're going to go early. Yes, Macklin Celebrini. Yes, you got Levshunov. I think that's how you said, Artem Levshunov, will probably go second. You know, for Sabres fans that have seen him, he's at Michigan State. He's a defenseman as well. But then there's going to be a run of defensemen that are going to go. There could be, again, maybe a highly touted defenseman that may be on the board at 11. Who do you got that the Sabres have to keep an eye on when it comes to their pick at 11 if there's one of those defensemen available?
Mm-hmm. So kind of like the forwards, it seems like there's a few defensemen at the top that are projected, you know, go top four. It would take a lot for one of them to slip. But then there's this group of four that you see from 5 to 12 in different orders in mock drafts. So it comes down to which guys teams like most. There's a good chance one of them is there at 11. You just don't know which one. And it's two left shots, Sam Dickinson from the OHL, Zeev Bouyum from national champion Denver in the NCAA.
Yep.
And then two right shots, Carter Yakimchuk, Calgary in the Western League, and Zane Parekh in the OHL. All these guys are offensive defensemen. They have different, I guess, qualities within that, but you've got four offensive dynamic defensemen, two left shot, two right shot, and it seems like there's a chance one of them could be there at 11, at least.
Yeah, and you look at Sam Dickinson. I mean, he had a fantastic season with 70 points in 68 games with London. A lot of assists, a playmaker, followed up with 13 points in 18 games. Then he had 4 points in four games at the Memorial Cup for the London Knights. So, yeah, I think this is a player that definitely can show a lot of offense. Yes, he is a left shot. But by the time he develops, who knows, right? Like, your group of six right now in Buffalo has a lot of left shots. I get it, but you're not drafting like the Bills to have somebody come into their lineup right away, especially when it comes to the 11 pick. I think you're drafting for something a little bit down the road. So I do like Dickinson. I do like Bouyum with Denver. Those are two. Did you mention Solberg? Did you mention Solberg as that Norwegian? Yeah. Like, there's not a lot of Norwegian that filter into the draft, but I played with one, Matt Zuccarello. The guy was, you know, kind of undercover, and he's had a fantastic career still playing in Minnesota. So, yeah, there's a Norwegian defenseman that maybe we want to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so like I said, those four that I just mentioned, those guys have been projected all along to go, like I said, as high as five, maybe even earlier, and as you know, around where the Sabres go. Then you have Solberg, who, like I said, I spoke with Mike Morrell. I spoke with Chris Peters from Flow Hockey, helped a lot with our coverage on Sabres.com. Another guy who has coverage all year long of these prospects. And everyone you talk to mentions Solberg as this dark horse wild card to maybe crash the party, so to speak. And that's because he had a great showing for Norway at the Men's World Championship. So he's playing professionally in Norway. It's not the highest regarded competition, but now he's playing against NHL players at Worlds. And he's been regarded as one of the more physical players in the draft. He showed that at Worlds. And so now the question is, how high did he rise? He's in the mid-20s in Central Scouting's rankings for international skaters. Has he risen into the top 20 overall? Has he risen even higher? Could he be at 11? That's an intriguing trait when you think about the physicality of a guy like that to add to a Sabres defense corps that is kind of in place for the next 6-7 years. And you look at the contract. So it's an interesting thought.
Yeah, Sabres have done really well with, like, look, when they traded up to get J.J. Paterka and they picked, like, you know, Kulik and those guys. And sometimes you're like, oh, who are these guys? Well, they've done really well picking guys later in the first round or middle of the first round, even second rounders. So I'm interested in seeing what they do. Jordan, I appreciate the time here on Sabres Live today. If you haven't read the piece, it's on Sabres.com. It's called 7 at 11 when it comes to the forwards and the D. You can read on all of them. That is from the great writing of Jordan LaBarber of Sabres.com. Thanks a lot, man. And we'll see you in Vegas.
Thank you, Marty. See you in Vegas anytime.
Okay, thanks a lot. Well, before the draft, after the draft, whatever, you can always look at getting in on some season's membership. $57 game season tickets memberships in the lower bowl. Get closer to the action. Enjoy the exclusivity of the access, the perks, and the experience. You just got to go to sabres.com/join to be able to check out if you want to, you know, come to some games. And if you want some summer hockey, I'll tell you, the best summer hockey in town is going to start this Thursday at Lecom Harbor Center. And we've got Mike and Amy Lesakowski of the 11-day Power Play joining me right now. They look fantastic. They're all ready to go. You got the hat. I got the hat. I got the t-shirt. I got everything. I'm so excited. Thanks for joining us, guys. How you doing?
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Are you guys well rested before this starts, or are you running on fumes already trying to get everything organized?
We have to always be ready, Marty. We're ready.
Yeah, you're ready. Okay, so Thursday, it actually starts at 6 a.m., but opening ceremonies at 6 p.m. We're going back to the 24 hours games at midnight at 3 a.m. And there's a few ice maintenance shifts here and there, but there's middle of the night hockey. What was that decision to go back to having full 24 hours into making the event, you know, unique again this year?
Well, it's mostly because my feet are still numb from the last world record game. So we'd said we got to take a couple of years off. So the world record game has been a couple of years. We do that every once in a while, but our flagship is the community shift. And this year's awesome. Amy and her team they're killing it. We've got the most players we've ever registered. We've got over $1.2 million already raised. So this year's we're going back to the community shift. It's our flagship. It's well accepted. People around town love it, and we're ready to go.
So I did see on social media how organized you guys all are. The warehouse with all the jerseys, and it's unbelievable. This is not just a little like, hey, let's get together, play hockey for 11 days. Like, Amy, do you know exactly where everything is in that warehouse? You'd be that one person that would catalog everything, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our staff is so great. You know, this is our eighth year, Marty. So, you know, we've been through a lot. We've been through a couple world record games. This is our largest event. We have 4,000 pieces of apparel that came in the last couple of days that we're folding and organizing and getting ready to sell at merchandise on top of those jerseys. So, but you know, it's kind of a, you know, something that we just do every year and it's getting better and better.
Yeah, local people obviously very involved, but there's, you know, people that come in for the event from way out of town, even for the actual world record shift. There was, you know, out-of-towners that came in. Where are the out-of-towners coming from? Is there some that are coming from way far and, you know, you're surprised every time you hear that, you know, they want to join the party?
Yeah, every year it changes, but it's been really cool. Like we have, for instance, Liam's billet parents from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, they'll be in. We've got a team that comes up from Maryland every year. We've got another team of ladies that comes up from Carolina every year. There's a ton of people from Rochester. You know Rochester very well.
Yeah.
So like every year it seems like there's another team or two from Rochester, and it's been great. There's been a couple years where there's a gentleman from here that lives in Tokyo, Japan. So he comes, I don't think he's here this year, but in the years past he's been here and stays at the hotel and plays in the community shift. So it's been really cool. And then even some Canadian folks, we've got some good friends of ours from just north of the border. They'll be coming this year as well. So it's been fun. It's great to hear those stories.
So you talk about how your toes have not, you know, recovered from the game from 2 years ago. Now you're going to play a few shifts in this 11-day event coming up. Any shift at goalie? Because you've had to do a couple of shifts at goalie before. So do you want to don the pads? And I see you're showing the mini goalie stick. You can't make a save with the mini stick. You got to get the real thing. So do you need me to bring a couple of pairs of skates so that you can maybe get in the net?
No, thank you. You did let me use your skates for the world record game. That was very helpful, but I still didn't help me make any saves. So I will not be playing goalie. My teammates will appreciate that. I'm bad enough at defense, let alone goalie.
Okay, well, that's good. That's fine. Amy, you ever think maybe I should, you know, join in for a shift or two here when you do the thing? How often have you gone on and played with Mike and Liam and everybody, you know, in the past?
Me?
Yes.
The only time I have played is when I was your defensive partner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did that for a little bit.
That was for ball hockey.
Ball hockey at Riverworks in 2020 was my debut because I don't know how to ice skate. And everybody thinks that's hysterical. But anytime we do street hockey, I can participate. But other than that, I'm behind the scenes helping, you know, getting our players situated each shift and feeding them and, you know, of course, doing social media and everything else.
But there will be a shift of my son and daughter and myself playing. So Liam, Julia, and Dad are playing in a shift together for the first time ever, which will be really cool.
That is great. Well, that's something to be proud of. Obviously, you have so much to be proud of with everything that you guys have done with the 11-day power play. Now, it ends on June 30th. So anything special for the last little bit here when you guys, I think the last shift is at 6 p.m., the closing ceremony on Sunday, June 30th. So anything special for that day as well?
So every year, our top three fundraising teams get to play in the final shift, and we have them participate in a game with our awesome Sabres alumni. Mm-hmm. Marty, I hear you're in this year.
Actually, I'm not. I can't. Like, I had to bail out because I got to take Jacob to school that Sunday, so I got to drive. Yes, he's got to go in a little earlier, but I was all ready to go, and then, I had to talk to Pat Coletta about it, but I think Coletta is recruiting a lot of people, he's trying to make it work.
Yeah. And we have some junior Sabres, you know, players that kind of came up through the organization that, you know, we're really proud of, you know, their achievements. And some of them are playing in juniors and in college. And so we'll be highlighting them as well. And I just want to mention, too, before we forget, the Sabres alumni was so generous. Larry Playfair reached out to us. The 50-50 that they're doing for the month of June is actually benefiting the 11-day power play. So anybody that wants to get in on that, the winner of the 50-50 is June 30th, the final shift. I think around 8 p.m. we'll be pulling that number. So you can go to our website at 11daypowerplay.com and access our 50-50 online. And that's, you know, a big thank you to the Junior Sabres for doing that for us. And
that was very generous. Larry reached out, you know, out of the blue just said, hey, we want to do this for you guys. And it's been, you know, of course we accepted graciously. We're doing a $5,000 minimum pool. So there'll be a nice jackpot regardless. And so huge thanks to Larry and the Junior Sabres for doing that. It's really, really special.
So amazing. Over the last 7 years, raised over $10 million. Your website is great, by the way. 670 kids were sent to Camp Good Days. $6 million was donated to Roswell Park Research and Wellness Programs. 230 wishes supported by Western New York families. Like, this is amazing. When you started the first year, did you realistically thought, we'll be at it in year 8 and more, 9, 10, and keep going?
Of course.
Of course. No. Amy's waving, like she's saying no, but Mike is like, oh, for sure.
Nope. We were doing a one-time event. Yeah. We tell everybody all the time. We did a one-time event and it took kind of a life of its own. And there was no way we could say no at that point. So here we are and we're going to keep going.
And it's the Buffalo community. They rallied around that first year and we knew we had to do something different to include more people from the community. And, you know, we're at 2,500 participants this year, 500 more than last year. Yeah. So we just grow and grow every year. And, you know, between the players and the volunteers, 300 per year come out and put this event on. We lead it, but they put this event on every year.
Well, yeah, I love what you guys do. You guys are amazing. And you know, I've told you in person and on the air and public and whatnot, but you're amazing. And we thank you for all that you do. Now, on Sunday, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Anyway, I'll make my way down to Harbor Center. I'll come see you guys. Then I'm off to Vegas because it's the NHL draft. And unfortunately, I'm going to miss the rest of it. But if you guys need a little entertainment while you're there, tune into Sabres Live and the draft coverage and see what's going on and see if I behave myself in Vegas because, you know, hey, what happens in Vegas is supposed to stay. The draft is at the Sphere. We're staying somewhere not far. So yeah, it will be fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Please come down and say hello. I know you will. It's always fun to, when you pop in and, you know,
opening night on Thursday is going to be amazing this year. We have Dan Dunleavy doing the play-by-play with this top fundraisers and we have a Chuck-a-Puck game and we have music with Nicholas Pickles and lots of exciting things.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, guys, thank you. Oh, I forgot to ask you. Game 5 tonight, Oilers, Florida Panthers. Who do you got? Who wins game 5? Because I asked Jordan already. I'm doing an internal poll here.
All right. I got Florida, Reinhardt with 2 goals, Erod with 1, and Sergei with the MVP.
Oh, okay. Sergei Bobrovsky with the MVP. I thought you were going to say Montour with a goal, Kulikov a goal. Bring all the Sabres, Kalaposo a goal. Bring all the old Sabres into the party and make something happen. But okay, so 1-1 now. Thanks, guys. 11-day power play starts this Thursday at 6 a.m. The opening ceremonies are 6 p.m. Lecom Arbor Center. Go to 11daypowerplay.com for all the information. 50-50 donations, everything. It's all there. Look. Who's going to break the tie will be Rob Ray. And I got him after the break here. So Mike and Amy, thanks again. And we'll be right back here on Sabres Live with Rob Ray. And who knows what he's going to say. So come back in a couple of minutes here on Sabres Live.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live. I want to thank Jordan LaBarber of Sabres.com for joining us at the top of the show. And then the Lesikowski, Mike and Amy Lesikowski, 11-day power play. It's going to be amazing. But it is now time to bring in the enforcer, the one and only number 32, Rob Ray. Razor, how are you doing, man? I hear you, you had a little bit of an adventure this morning.
Yeah, we went a little fish with the coach this morning and got a little wet. I had to show the coach up a little bit and show how to finesse the fishing rod a little bit. But it was a good day. Caught a lot of fish, out with Jimmy Hanley, it was a good morning.
Is that your first time fishing this summer?
First time, Marty.
Wow, what have you been doing? You usually are out on the boat like 5 or 6 times already by now.
No, I work for a living, Marty.
Oh,
I have a wife and kids. You know, there's no downtime.
I've been trying to text you. That's why you've not responded to any of my texts. You're too busy. I thought it was going to be a quiet summer for you, but you're too busy.
Yeah, no, it was just you, Marty.
Oh, okay.
Certain ones. I reply to important people.
Yeah, but you texted me when you needed something. So we'll talk about fishing. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup Finals a little bit. But the reason why you're on is we want to talk about the Sabres Alumni Scholarship Program. Yeah. And something that has been happening for a while now, and we've donated a ton of money over the years, but we want more people to be able to, you know, apply and get the option of the scholarship program. So what can you tell people about this beautiful program that the alumni, yourself, and many others have going on right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, Marty, it started years ago. Freddie Stansfield, Larry Playfair, and that started our alumni with the golf tournament. And it was all for Spinner Spencer when he had his mishap and to help his kids get through school.
Yep.
And then it's just blossomed into something that's been fantastic over the years. We're going to hit $1 million this year that we've give out to kids in Western New York and Southern Ontario for school. And it's the money comes from actually our golf tournament. So all the monies we raise at our golf tournament goes towards scholarships. And every dime we take in goes out to the kids. So it's been really good. It's something that's grown over the years. It's a good time. Guys love it. But the big picture is, Marty, you know yourself, you've been a part of it when we get to pick these kids through their applications. And I get to make the phone calls to these kids to say that we're giving them money for 4 years while they're in school. That it's pretty cool thing to be able to make that call and how excited they are and how much they appreciate it. And, you know, we still get letters and calls from people that got scholarships years ago. They keep us up to date on how they're doing and things. And some of these kids have done fantastic things in the world. And it's really good that you can sit back and say, hey, a bunch of guys got together, had some fun, and able to help them out to get to where they are today. It's a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, so there's two things there. Number one, sabersalumni.scholarship tab. You click on it, you can get the application, you can see the details, who's eligible, the, you know, all the behind the scenes, basically. That has to be in before July 1. You know, so that's what it says there. So you have a couple of weeks if you're thinking about applying for scholarships for the future. Look into it. You have to write an essay, and you obviously have to give us your, you know, your transcripts and all of that, but there's a little bit of work to do there, so you can check that. The second part of it is the golf tournament, which we have in August again this year. A lot of alumni that come back. It's a great event because the alumni love hanging out. They stay after for some drinks and some food, and it's fun for fans to take part of it, and it helps. Last year, we had Pierre Turgeon, who's, you know, newly Hall of Famer. There was a lot of guys that came back. So, you know, and I say that because I think I know the answer, but the golf part of it is pretty full right now. There may be a couple of foursomes left where people can sign up, right?
Yeah, we have openings each year, you know, that come up through the year. But, you know, if anybody's interested, they can always go onto our website and drop a message, and we'll get to them and talk, you know, see what it's all about and offer it out. But, yeah, we do. We try to keep it light, have a good time. The good thing is, Marty, every year it seems like we get younger and younger guys getting involved, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's important to keep the alumni going, to keep the young guys sooner they can to get involved with it. Some guys, it takes a few years before they, you know, want to admit that they're actually an alumni and they want to be part of things. But when they get out there, it's always a good time. So we're pretty lucky here. We've got a large group of guys in the area that played for us. They've stayed here. They live here. This is their home. And it's their real big opportunity to be able to give back a little bit. So, you know, it's the names and faces are always changing every year. We're always getting new guys. There's always, you know, some guys that have been around forever. So we kind of, the fortunate thing is we can hit just about every era that the Sabres have had with representation of players at our tournaments and our events. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. It is. It's a good day. And it's something that, as I said, Larry and Freddie started years ago. And, you know, we're just proud to be able to continue it.
Niagara Falls Country Club is the location again this year. We did that last year. It was a great event. A lot of alumni coming from Canada, you know, Southern Ontario. People, even fans coming from Southern Ontario, and it's a beautiful golf course, great scenery. So again, at the end of August this year, I think it's the 28th. That's a Monday. That's the date for the alumni event. I think it's the 28th or the 26th, one of those. Anyway, the Monday around there at the end of August. Check it out. Razor, have you been paying attention to the Stanley Cup final at all? Have you been watching the games, or is it summer mode for robbery right now?
It's kind of summer mode, Marty. I didn't watch much of the playoffs, but I do watch the finals. It's kind of preliminary up to then, but it's been good. It's exciting. I love it. So, you know, you just sit there and sometimes you imagine yourself, hey, we're still playing at this time of year. You know, you think back to the chance you had, the only chance we ever had to be there. And, you know, you just catch yourself some nights, just especially when they award the cup. It's just like you just sit there and sometimes you still imagine yourself being a part of things. And it's a great feeling. I'll tell you what, man, it's the best time of year.
Okay, so who wins tonight? Game five tonight in Florida. The Panthers got up 3-0. Edmonton was able to win one at home in an 8-1 fashion. The cup was in the building, you know, on Tuesday. Not on Tuesday, on Saturday, I should say. It will be in the building again tonight, which we are Tuesday. So it's 1-1 right now. Jordan LaBarber said the Oilers were going to win, and there will be a game six on Friday. The Lysakowskis said Florida's going to win, and Reinhardt was going to score a couple of goals. What is Rob Ray, the tiebreaker? Who do you think wins tonight's game five?
Marty, I think the Florida Panthers took their foot off the gas last game and they wanted to win it at home. So I said that to Lenny this morning. What do you think? And he goes, I think it's going to be a tight game. But, you know, I kind of had the same feeling that, you know, they might not have left everything on the ice there last game. So they want to do it at home. So I think they're going to be a pretty tough out because they know they got to win this game, that they're going to be coming out hard. And I don't think Edmonton can handle it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to make a prediction because it's 2-1 for the Florida Panthers right now. And if I say the Oilers are going to win, then we got to get somebody else on the show last minute. Maybe we get producer Jeff to be the tiebreaker there. So I'm going to keep it at that. I'll say with you guys, if Florida doesn't win tonight and the Oilers go back for game six, we're going to have a game seven on Monday. I think that this is the chance for the Florida Panthers to close it out tonight. It was also 25 years ago tomorrow, the no goal. Did you mention that to Lindy today when you guys were on the boat, or would he have thrown you overboard?
Why would we ruin a nice day, Marty? why would you even bring that up now?
Well, because it is going to be tomorrow. I got you on.
It really doesn't matter if it's next week, Marty. Why do you bring that stuff up?
Okay, well, what was it? 10 days ago, you, Lindy, and Jason Woolley relived game one, the heroics of Jason Woolley. It's the same thing. It didn't end up a win at the end, but you guys still talked about it.
It doesn't matter. Game one, we were successful, Marty. We won it. So it was a positive thing. You don't rekindle the negative side.
Anything off the ice that year in the playoffs that you remember that was significant, either a practice day, you know, maybe even that Dallas series, anything that was fun with the guys? That's what we all remember, the fun off the ice, right? When you have a long playoff run, anything crazy that happened?
No, I don't think there's anything crazy, Marty. I think it was just more, you know, everybody be obviously excited. You know, you're part of it. You're to the ultimate pinnacle to get your biggest prize. But I look back at those guys and, you know, we had a team that was never expected to be there. You know, nobody ever gave us a chance. We were just kind of day by day that we had conquered something and we achieved something that most never thought we could. And we had a lot of belief in the room. But I think the biggest thing was just trying to keep things loose, trying to keep guys light and as much as possible in between the games, because there was so much attention to it. It's crazy how much attention's on the guys and how demanding, you know, media and all that kind of thing is, that you needed a distraction. And I think that was the thing that we tried to do best.
If I remember correctly, in 1999, you probably drove a 1994 Ford Taurus or something like that. I think that was your car of choice back in the days, but probably, right? Like, yeah, I remember you driving around in a Ford Taurus. Do you remember what type of car? Because you know, like, I think it was Mr. Regas at the time owned the team. We know there was some trouble after that, but he went around and everybody got to pick a little Matchbox toy car, and that was going to be your bonus if we won the cup, right?
Nah, do you remember he lied to us, Marty. He lied to us and he told us that if we made it there, he'd buy us all a car.
If you made it to the finals?
Majorly motivated. Hey, we're going to get a new car because we made it there. And he shows up after we beat Toronto and he hands everybody a friggin' little Matchbox car. And that was the, and everybody, that was like, what? Seriously? You said you were buying us a car. Well, he bought us a car, all right. A little stupid Matchbox.
So it's like a little Ferrari, but it's an inch and a half long. It's not the that actual was, car in your driveway.
That was the beginning of his downfall.
Well, if it would only had stopped there, it would have been okay, but it went a little farther. Yeah. So that was some issues there. But Rob, thanks for, a little trip memory lane, even though some of it is a little bit more painful than others. This little cars story was pretty good. And thanks again for, continuing the scholarship program. You're the president of the Sabres alumni, and, you know, there's a lot going on, but again, go to sabresalumni.com, go under the scholarship tab. We'll get to $1 million this year given out in scholarships for when it comes to the alumni. So Razor, you got to be proud of that and proud of the ones that did it before. So thanks. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Don't be a stranger. You can text me and come back on the show whenever you want. We have a summer of stories to tell, so I'm sure you have other stories you'd want to tell. Oh, you know what? He froze. So we'll be right back. Sorry. We'll be back in a minute.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Sabres Live here on this what is a very hot and humid, beautiful right now, Tuesday, June the 18th. We're off tomorrow. It's Juneteenth tomorrow, so no Sabres Live. And Duffer will rejoin the show on Thursday. Kevin Adams will speak with the media on Thursday as well, answer a ton of questions. So thanks, Rob Ray, for joining the show. He cut out unexpectedly. The Zoom link just his cell phone bill maybe wasn't paid, and boom, it cut out. We had Mike and Amy Lesikowski of the 11-Day Power Play join us as well, and Jordan LaBarber from Sabres.com. Go to the 11-Day Power Play website, donate, see what's happening. They start on Thursday until June 30th. It's the community shift. Jordan LaBarber has two great articles on draft prospects, forwards and defensemen available. It's called 7 at 11 because the Sabres pick 11. So he picked 7 forward and 7 D that you can read up on and see which one maybe would work for you. Or if you're the trade the pick, well, maybe that will happen. And, you know, we don't have a show tomorrow. So maybe Thursday when Kevin Adams talks to the media. Who knows? Maybe he says we have a trade to announce. Probably not. It's a little early. Still, the Stanley Cup Finals is being played, and Game 5 is tonight. There was another Game 5 last night. It was the NBA, and the Celtics won the NBA championship. And it leads me to, we have the best trophy in sport, not just because the history of the Stanley Cup, but because of the name, the Stanley Cup. The NBA championship trophy is called the Larry O'Brien Championship Trophy, which is good. I don't mind it. I think it's fine. When you look at baseball, it's called the Commissioner's Trophy. And in football, it's called the, you know, Vince Lombardi Trophy. So the fact that the Stanley Cup, it just rings so much better. But the Celtics did win the Larry O'Brien Championship Trophy in 5 games last night. So, you know, Dallas tried to put up a good effort. They had a good game 4, but could not keep it up in game 5, which is exactly what the Edmonton Oilers did, right? They had a great game 4. Let's see if they can do it in game 5. It is a one-word Tuesday. I don't know if you guys saw it on Instagram, but Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is a big golf fan, and I'm sure he was watching the U.S. Open over the weekend when Bryson DeChambeau won, but all-in-ones are good, but albatross are better. This is a 2 on a par 5, basically crushing a drive down the middle and then going with the double eagle or the albatross on a par 5. So congratulations to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who's a big golf fan. He was able to get an albatross and posted it on his Instagram. So that was great. Thanks again for, you know, always being here, watching our show, listening to it on WGR and MSG. No show tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday with more Sabres news or Stanley Cup Finals news.